Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Dr. Inez Trii, Assistant Secretary for Environmental Management at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us from IBM is Barb Hudson. Doctor, I understand that your program received upwards of $6 billion in American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding. Would you outline for us the types of EM projects that are receiving Recovery Act funds? And how did you go about identifying which funds would receive those monies?
We have 17 sites in 12 states that receive a Recovery Act funds. First, we wanted to maximize the creation of jobs saved as well as created. So we wanted to select areas where the projects were shovel ready. You know, that we already knew the scope, we already knew the cost, we knew how long it was going to take, and we wanted to choose projects that were ready for implementation. The second thing that we did was that we chose projects that have established regulatory framework. We also wanted to go to projects that actually had a proven technology. We want the projects that had an existing contract vehicle or that it was relatively straightforward to have a competition to award the contract to do the work. And finally, we wanted projects that had work scope where the environmental management program had a proven performance. And these are the three major activities: the disposition of solid waste, soil and groundwater remediation, and the decontaminationing and ultimate demolition of excess facilities in those DOE sites. So for that reason, we chose projects that were able to be started quickly so that we can maximize jobs saved and created across the complex.
So in a sense, I'd like to drill down even further. How has the Recovery Act funding complement your normal appropriation? But more importantly, does it accelerate the efforts? And how do you track and record the efforts associated with Recovery Act funds?
Absolutely. The Recovery Act work was work that we had in the out years for some of our cleanup. So what we did is identify those efforts that met the criteria that I was describing, and we accelerated them so that we could actually finish the cleanup faster. We have a life cycle cost for the entire environmental management program that we report to Congress on an annual basis, what we call the environmental liability, which is the liability that the country has due to this environmental legacy, gets audited on an annual basis as well. So we endeavor to keep that life cycle cost managed and recorded in a way where we can explain what is it that was accelerated, the consequences of that acceleration, because normally when you accelerate and you have economies of scale as a result of the investment of $6 billion, then the return on investment is quite significant. We go out of our way to demonstrate the return on investment that we're going to have, which ultimately results in the life cycle costs coming down as a result of this type of efforts. So we are in the process of doing that now. The return on investment varies across the sites, and we want to ensure that we can demonstrate that the return on investment is a significant benefit of having done this work earlier than planned.
Switching gears, we know advances in science can produce great strides in addressing the environmental management's cleanup needs as well as improving their safety and efficiency. Would you elaborate on the development of some of the improved technologies and approaches? And are you collaborating with other DOE components that would bridge the gap between science and its application in ways that would benefit your programs?
Absolutely. The national laboratories of the Department of Energy, those national laboratories reside some of the most advanced science and technological efforts probably in the world. In particular, in our field in environmental management, ability to be able to predict the groundwater movement, because we are concerned about the contaminants in that groundwater reaching the accessible environment. It's something that requires a high level of capability. And we're very proud of the work that our national laboratories have done in that area. And we're now ensuring that the computing power, as well as the ability to make those predictions as to the groundwater movement in the subsurface in very complicated geohydrological settings, that we are taking the best science and applying it to the environmental management program. When Secretary Hsu became the Secretary of Energy, one of his first conversations with me was that he wanted to invest in technology in the environmental management program, given the billions of dollars, hundreds of billions, and the decades of the time period of the program. His first comment to me was, I want to invest so that we can have those transformational technologies that actually allow us to do this job better in a more efficient manner. So one of the areas is indeed in this groundwater transport through the subsurface. Another one is in what do we do in order to remediate the groundwater, you know, to remove the contaminants, prevent those contaminants from reaching the accessible environment. And of course, one of the most important areas is in the treatment of the waste. The 88 million gallons of highly radioactive waste in underground tanks in three places in the United States today is something that is extremely important for us to deal with. How to treat that waste, the chemical treatment technologies, in order to encapsulate the waste in solid forms, in very stable solid forms, such as glass. How much waste can we load onto the glass so that we can shorten the period that where we need to perform the treatment? That is something that is of extreme importance. The removal of the waste from these underground tanks is something that is extremely challenging. The waste is not liquid waste. The waste has a number of different physical forms. If I had to come up with one word description, the waste is more like peanut butter than it is like a solution, a liquid, you know, that you can easily pump out of the tanks. Based on that, our work in Washington State, Hanford site in Savannah Riverside in South Carolina, in our Idaho site in Idaho, and at West Valley in New York is so extremely important to ensure that we can actually be protective of human health and the environment.
As environmental management pursues cleanup of the sites and facilities at DOE, it strives to be more than environmentally safe properties. Would you tell us about environmental management's efforts to transform these properties into community reuse sites through the property transfers? And then how does the Energy Parks Initiatives factor into such a strategy?
We, in the environmental management program, once that we finish the cleanup of vast tracts of lands, we feel that those vast tracts of lands surrounded by a community that understands technology, surrounded by a workforce that has worked in a highly complex and technologically difficult area, that all of those three things, the people, the geohydrological setting, the characterization of that geohydrological setting, and the land itself become assets for the community to explore. What is it that they want to do with those assets? When the community approaches us about what you call land transfers, in other words, for us to transfer land that has been cleaned up to them, you know, for beneficial reuse by that community, we do analysis, and if it is in the best interest of the government to transfer that land, we do so routinely. The Energy Parks Initiative is a variant of that routine activity within the Department of Energy. We are exploring with the communities. We want to be an advocate, a facilitator for the community to explore. Once that we finish the environmental cleanup in a particular part of the site, what do we do with that land? Is there a beneficial reuse by the community of the land that we have just cleaned up? One of the areas could be in the energy side of the house. We can clean up land. The community can come in and say, well, I would like to establish here an energy park, for instance, to test technologies, solar technologies, renewable technology, nuclear energy. Then if they feel that the asset that we have just cleaned up could be the basis for that future of that community, we assist them in trying to work with them so that we can transfer the land to them so that those, hopefully, it's some beneficial reuse, including energy parks, could actually be established. We have made it clear to the communities that the environmental management program is not trying to establish any particular beneficial reuse, energy parks or anything else. That is something that the community needs to explore and decide what is it that they want to do. And if energy parks happens to be of interest or some other kind of beneficial reuse or nothing, like the wildlife refuge, you know, at the Rocky Flats site, that we are very willing, you know, to facilitate that for the community.
Inez, I only have a minute to go, but I wanted to get your sense. How do you work with, and maybe you could elaborate for us, your efforts with the best experts, the international experts? Maybe you can give us a sense of how you work with folks globally.
Absolutely. We have a lot of our work includes international collaborations, and the one that probably is the most appropriate is the collaborations with the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority of the United Kingdom. We have our experts sit down with their experts to explore best business practices in environmental cleanup in both countries. And many of our contractors work here in the United States as well for the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority. We have found those interactions to be essential. In addition, we work with scientists across the world. We have one of our offices that advances technology development, pursue different collaborations that actually have resulted in a lot of excellent technologies in the area of tank waste, as a matter of fact, different solid forms, advanced technologies to be able to encapsulate the waste in advanced solid forms. So we actually think that that international collaboration is essential in order to take the best business practices from across the world to this very complicated cleanup.
What does the future hold for Energy's Office of Environmental Management? We will ask Dr. Inez Triay, Assistant Secretary for Environmental Management at the U.S. Department of Energy, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.